grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father, from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear confessors of the faith, those of you who today will publicly make confession of your faith, brothers and sisters in Christ, and all these words from the Gospel upon which we will meditate this day. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe me, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. In Jesus' name, dear redeemed of God. There are many deep divine mysteries in the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday morning, those of you who gathered here to hear these young people speak of the faith that they have been taught, recognize that sometimes these things remain mysteries to us as we go. I've forgotten. I don't get it. And so on. When St. Jerome translated the inscripturated word from Greek to Latin, he chose a Latin term we now say as sacrament to define what the Greeks called mysterium or mystery. There are many mysteries in Holy Scripture. There is the mystery of God becoming flesh, as you just so confessed. There is the mystery of our Lord's presence in the sacrament of the altar. There is the mystery of how water can cleanse and restore and remove sin. But of all the many mysteries, none is perhaps more puzzling than the mystery of God, the triune God, and the mystery of salvation. It is this latter mystery that so troubled Nicodemus, as you heard in the Gospel for today. And it is the former mystery, the mystery of the Trinity, that has so confounded man's wisdom that he invents a God that he can comprehend. So the words of Jesus apply to you and to me today, as well as to these seven young adults who will soon confess publicly their faith and trust in this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From earliest times, the Christian cry was, "Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And thus, the New Testament Church still praises its God today. God, the Father, the Creator of all things. God, the Son, the Creator of all salvation. And God, the Holy Spirit, the one who brings and reconnects the sinner to a holy God and brings that faith which Jesus earned. Father, source of all life, the Son, who offered his lifeblood to give life and strength through the forgiveness of sins given and shed for you, and the Spirit, provider of new life in Jesus through the water of baptism and the Word. If bestowed upon them in creation was lost forever. Thus man is blinded to the reality of his faith, believing that he can somehow regain that image lost and gain again a right standing before God. To go from lost and fallen creation to the new creation is a work of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There was once only creation lost and distorted. Now, because of Christ and the work of the Spirit and the plan of the Father, there is a new creation. As Lutherans, we use shorthand when we say that is Word and Sacraments. But where the Word and Sacraments of Christ are, there is the Holy Spirit working through those God-given and God-established gifts to reestablish the new creation of God in the hearts and lives of those who were once lost and totally corrupted. Thus, born anew of water and of the Spirit, the old creation that was subjected to futility and corruption and death now brings forth new life and new fruit. What Nicodemus could not do, God has done. And that troubled Nicodemus. He couldn't understand how God could do that. For you and for me, it is simple. The creation of God the Father is restored through the new creation of God the Son, all brought about by God the Holy Spirit. Thus we confess and say, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. This faith, willed by the Father, earned by the work of the Son, and breathed into you by the Holy Spirit, is what you seven young people will confess today. And when they make that confession, it is my fervent prayer that they will be joining the confession of the one holy Catholic and universal Church of Jesus Christ in all the ages and throughout all the earth. To confess, we are reminded, means to same say. Literally, to confess the faith of the fathers is to say what the fathers have said. And to confess the faith of the fathers is to confess what the apostles have said, and what the God the Father has revealed in and through the work and the life of God the Son, the incarnate Word. And to speak that word is to have been taught that word, to see it the same way by the Holy Spirit. For the Scriptures declare that no one can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now in your baptism, God has given you a new birth and a new name, His name, the name of God which was pressed upon you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And with that name, He has given you a new sign. I'm not talking about the signs of the zodiac here. I'm talking about the sign placed upon you as a sign of your redemption. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross upon the forehead and upon the heart in token that you have been redeemed by Christ the Crucified. This is the sign that seals the name that God has entrusted to you, the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as He called you to be His child. With His name and with His sign, you are called upon now to daily die to sin through repentance, for you are buried with Christ by baptism into death. And with His name and His sign, you daily rise, dying to sin that he provided a special memento of that day. But let us hear again in its entirety that text so it makes sense to us, and then we'll see the memento. And finally, it says, "My brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness, even in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." And I remind you that armor flows from the Word. "Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having girded your waist with truth, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." It was, I maintain, that last verse that led your PE teacher and caught his attention, and he presented this to me Friday so that I could share it with you today. It says, Ephesians 6:10-11, "The whole armor of God." Now I'm going to put this away before I hurt myself or you, but I think you get the picture. Today is a fitting day and an appropriate day, not only for this young man and these young women to profess how they came to be numbered with God's people and how he will keep them as his own. But it's an important day for all here present to recall how each has become God's child and how he keeps each one of us in the one true faith. And it is exactly the same way. Through the Word. The sword of the Word brings us the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. And it is our offensive weapon against temptation and despair and doubt. I invite all of you today that, especially those of you who have once professed, to then profess silently this time along with these young men and women, words that the Holy Spirit has taught you and them to say. For such words confess a faith that is truly a deep divine mystery that may be received only by faith. So Catherine, Natalie, Jed, Katerina, Katie, Julia, and Michelle, as you await the eternal habitation of heaven, never tire nor grow weary of receiving his gifts, nor be thankless in your receiving the mysterious gifts of God that sustain both body and soul. For you are his creature in this world, and the new creation of the Son by the Spirit in his kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.